snappy bumper music today. Hey, it's Thursday already. It's the roundtable. Gosh, things are looking up. It's 13 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue once again. The panel today, an interesting panel. We have Rosemary Armeo, who, as you may know, is quite a famous radio personality and a SUNY Albany journalism professor and an investigative reporter. We also have publisher emeritus of The Daily Freeman, all-around good fellow, Ira Fussfeld. Now, I didn't say good fella.
I was going to say.
I didn't say good fella.
I haven't stuffed anybody's in any trunks that I can recall.
All right, how you doing? The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan not with us today. So, of course, we'll be looking forward to you pitching in at home via email. Keep it brief, if you would be so kind. Now, we got this lockbox, and by golly, it's exciting. Felicia Burke, who is our membership director, is here to tell us all about the lockbox. Hi, Felicia.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Great.
You look in fine fettle today.
Thank you.
So, what's new with the lockbox? Where are we at?
We are at $93,137.77.
Say that again.
$93,137.77.
That's not really a big box. How do you fit all that money in?
We're squeezing and folding.
Large bills? Yeah. All right, so the lockbox, obviously more metaphorical than real, but now we have a real one.
Sure.
And you can feed the lockbox at wamc.org. Why would you want to do that?
Well, you want to support your station and keep this kind of programming going. That's the first and foremost.
All right.
But if you need a little extra help, if you need some icing on the cake, we can give you some thank you gifts. So we've got the WAMC tote bag and hat and things like that. But the locked box tote is really the new thing. That's the exciting thing because it's 100% recycled material from plastic bottles.
Okay. How do you do that? And it's a cloth bag?
Squeeze really hard.
It's a cloth bag, right? It feels like a cloth
bag? It'll feel like cloth, yes. It has a fabric feel to it, but it's plastic.
Recycled plastic. Amazing.
Yeah.
Technology's wonderful, eh?
Well, and we love the environmentability of that. We like the sustainability, and so we also like that it's 100% made in the USA.
Okay, WAMC.org is the website.
Right. Do you want to know what this big bag looks like?
Do you have it?
It's a jumbo tote. I can describe it in detail.
Well, feel free. I have plenty of time.
Okay, it's a white bag. One side has a picture of the locked box, and the other side has WAMC, so everybody will know, where did you get that nifty bag?
Oh, cool.
We got it at WAMC.
And now the fun drive, the on-air drive starts when?
Monday, October 5th.
Oh, good heavens.
Bright and early at 6 a.m.
6 a.m., Alan in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be
across. I believe
you're
in the other chair.
Oh, thank you for reminding me.
Two chairs, no waiting.
Yes, it'll be exciting. And, we have a great time during the fun drive. And the neat thing about the lockbox is it will shorten the drive.
Absolutely.
So if you hate the fun, if you're listening to it and you hate the fun drive and you say, listen, I've got to get back to the media project. Can you please get back to the media project? Please. And make it an hour while you're at it. Chip in during our lockbox segment of the fun drive, which is right now.
Right. Now, we haven't been drumming the locked box extensively up until this point. And so I did a quick projection based on what we have so far and what we've been counting in every day.
Oh, good.
And I'm estimating that at this rate, we will start with a locked box of about $153,000, which is about half of what our locked box was the last drive. So just subtracting that from the million, ..
Okay.
We're looking, potentially a longer fun drive.
A longer fun drive.
Yeah.
So feed the lockbox now.
Feed the lockbox now, shorten that fun drive.
I think it's good. Felicia Burke, and so you can do it online. Ordinarily, you could also call in a pledge. Today, we're having some issues with our phones.
That's true, yeah.
So if you call and you get some strange message, go online, WAMC.org. Well, thanks, Felicia.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Love you to weigh in on the things we discussed today. And, oh!
Do you read mail on the show here?
I'm going to try. Oh, thank you for bringing that up. Now, most of the guests, and Alan has an iPad or something, and most of the guests have devices that have large fonts. I have this very old iPhone, like 2 or something. So if you send an email, again, just
write big.
Well, you can't do that.
Write short.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll do my best. And again, the email, roundtable@wamc.org. So Rosemary Armeo, Ira Fussfeld, 11 Republican presidential candidates took to the stage of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California last night for a second primetime debate. It lasted 3 hours, three riveting hours. The evening featured back and forth bickering over Donald Trump, but also some serious turns and some substance as well. The candidates argued about immigration, gay marriage, foreign affairs. Donald Trump pointed out ad nauseum. He was against the 2003 Iraq invasion. He linked Jeb Bush to that war, which was ordered by his brother, who was president at the time. When Trump attacked George W. Bush, Jeb Bush stopped cold. Instead of his brother, he kept us safe. And there was general concurrence among the 11 on that point. At another point, Bush pressed Trump to apologize for comments he's made about Bush's Mexican-born wife. Trump refused and called Bush weak on immigration. Carly Fiorina, who seems to be on an upward arc, took aim at Trump for derogatory comments he made about her appearance. She also made a kind of an emotional plea, I'd say one of
about drugs.
About Planned Parenthood.
No, oh, Planned Parenthood. Yeah, she did Parenthood. Two. There were two from
and the drug issue came up later. Jeb Bush saying, yeah, 40 years ago, he smoked the stuff. And his mother wouldn't be happy to have him tell 25 million people. I thought that was a funny moment. Mike Huckabee, who, by the way, in a little while, we'll predict who we think is going to bail out here very soon. And Huckabee has the look of just, okay, I'm going through the motions here one more time.
He's preparing to be in jail. You've heard, you know, he's volunteering to go to jail for the Kentucky clerk, so he may not be eligible once he's jailed.
So what do you guys think? Did you watch last night?
All three hours.
And you forget to mention the JV debate prior to the main event.
Which I missed.
Yes,
I was
I
grocery
saw that.
Shopping.
Did you watch that?
I did not. Yeah. I was at a library board meeting.
Well, dare I say this before I get into the general comments, that George Pataki, I thought, did very well in the first debate, as did Lindsey Graham. But I thought that there were four in that debate and 11 in the other debate, and the other one I thought was too long and that there were too many people, and I don't understand why they arbitrarily, since the rules were arbitrary, why they couldn't have more of an even split between the two debates.
And I disagree. We talked about this a little bit on the Media Project. I loved the format. I didn't at first. I watched it and said, how do you even follow this? But then I found myself watching it, and there were lots of discussions among and between the candidates. You certainly cannot fault the media for giving equal time to some of the people polling under 20%. And I found it kind of riveting.
Well, I tell you what, let's get into our specific discussion about this. Let's take a short break here. And the email address is roundtable@wamc.org. A lot of interesting things and a lot of dull things went on last night.
True.
And we will discuss. It's the Roundtable.
Support comes from Stony Point Center, an open space in the Hudson Valley staffed by a community of Jews, Muslims, and Christians committed to peace and social justice. Accepting bookings for conferences and retreats, stonypointcenter.org. Springbrook, Oneonta, New York. Supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities, working in schools, in homes, and in communities across New York to help individuals achieve independence. SpringbrookNY.org. And Colorful Stitches Fine Yarn, Lenox, Massachusetts. Featuring natural fiber designer yarns for hand knitters and crocheters. ColorfulStitches.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, Thursday morning, 9:21. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, and we have on our panel today Rosemary Armeo, the famous Rosemary Armeo, and Ira Fussfeld, marginally famous Ira Fussfeld.
Yeah.
Well, we all watched the debate last night. I think I watched 85% of it. I was shopping, and then I came in and turned it on at about 8:20.
Yeah, well, I watched it all, and then about 2 hours of commentary later, I just couldn't get enough.
You know, one thing that strikes me, now, I think Carly Fiorina is a strong and smart candidate, but it seems to me the post-game analysis around the media is really, Carly hit it out of the park, and I didn't see that.
I thought she did.
I did mean, too.
Let me stipulate that anything I say favorable about the performance of the candidates should not be concluded that I agree with very much of what I heard, because I didn't.
Objective.
But, ditto. You know,
objective.
But,
Ira Fussfeld.
Right. Mm-hmm. So strictly on the merits of the debate and the performance. Yeah.
Right. I
thought she did very well and helped herself. I thought Rubio did well. I thought Chris Christie did well. And I thought Rand Paul did well. But, again, to Rosemary's point, there's something to say for what we saw last night in terms of its length and the number of topics that were discussed and the interaction. On the other hand, it just seemed like that they had lost control, they meaning the moderators had lost control. There was too much, thank you, Senator, and they would continue to talk. Or now we're going to go on to another topic and somebody would say, no, let me get it.
Hey, it's still
but
my
they
turn.
Didn't. But they didn't it wasn't out of control. I mean, they did all try. They sensed the urgency of having to have FaceTime. But they did eventually stop. And we heard a lot last night. I mean, where else? This is a crazy process, picking the president this year or years. But where else does that happen? You don't see candidates lined up like that, going one-on-one and being held. Even the questions, which I guess a whole panel did. Jake Tapper did most of the asking. But they were wide-ranging. They were specific. They were based on previous statements. I thought it was pretty good journalism.
Did you think that it was so obvious that they were setting up Trump to be the target because they were quoting him and waiting to get that interaction and waiting for him to say stuff, crazy stuff, which he didn't disappoint right at the beginning, where he had made some stupid comment about what Rand Paul looks like.
Yeah, and he did the whole facial things. He was making faces, and Twitter was all filled with that. But even he kind of rose to the occasion at the end. You remember, he said, I have to say, it's an honor to be here.
I was very surprised.
He acted like a big boy in this debate. I thought it was awkward, but he really did try with Carly Fiorina, which was the embarrassing comment about, would you vote for that face? And she has just handled that so beautifully. Did you see the video she did where she said, look at this face, and she's got all these women. Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, she had planned that, and she delivered very well.
She delivered it very well, and his response was, he looked kind of taken aback, which I thought was justified, and then he said, I think her face is beautiful.
So do you think Trump was hurt by the debate and will fall?
No, I don't think his numbers will fall.
You don't think so?
No.
I think so.
Now, Time Magazine, I just heard before I left the house this morning, they did an overnight poll that had Trump as the winner with 61%.
Yeah, I think he did better than expectations. I thought Rubio was a surprise to me. I've never been impressed by him, and I thought he was terrific
on foreign
policy.
And he looked confident.
He did. He didn't do that whole drinking the water thing, which he's gotten into trouble in.
No,
before.
He's been able to joke about that now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
What about Jeb?
Was great.
I mean, Jeb had a lot to lose and a lot to gain. And when I first turned it on, maybe, again, 15 minutes in, Trump and Jeb were going at it, and Trump clearly getting the better. It reminded me of Foreman against Ali. So in order to win a battle against Foreman, you have to dictate the fight. You can't go in and slug it out. You have to stand back and jab. Mm-hmm. And Jeb did not jab, and he tried to go in and brawl, and he was just not equipped to do that.
He is what he is. I thought he was okay. I thought he was better than I expected him to be.
Yeah,
but I think you're right. He doesn't. It's just not in his makeup to do the kind of punching that Trump does. Yeah. And I think, if to the extent that that's important to the voters, do you want somebody who's a wild card like Trump, or do you want somebody who's more steady and reasoned than is Bush? Again, talking policies aside now.
How about Carson? How did you think he did? He's number two in the poll.
He's an interesting
Trump.
Guy.
I'm hard pressed to find his appeal. I mean, he really does put me to sleep. I listen to him. By the way, if you close your eyes, you'll think it's Kevin Costner. I couldn't quite get the voice.
That's funny, Ira.
Yeah, no, I really, you listen to his voice. But he let's stipulate he's a nice guy. He's brilliant. He's a surgeon, etc. But I don't understand what the appeal is. If you're looking for the outsider, then I think you have to be looking at Fiorino or, heaven forbid, Trump as outsiders who bring more to the table than he does.
Yeah. As for the topics, my vote for the stupidest question and the worst answers was, what woman would you put on a $20 bill? Ivanka Trump.
Well, followed closely
my
by
mother.
What's your Secret Service name going to be?
Yeah.
You know, the question about the $20 bill, Margaret Thatcher, which was Jeb Bush's answer, getting some traction in England. The press is loving that.
Oh, that's
right now.
Funny.
That's very funny.
Well, I was kind of horrified that they could only come up with really, three viable names, Rosa Parks and Abigail Adams. I don't know. Susan B. Anthony.
And they stayed away from Eleanor.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah. And then all the rest were foreigners or their own women folk. Please, you can't. Is that a lack of knowledge of history, or is it just a disregard for women? I hate it. And Carly Fiorina gave the worst answer there. I wouldn't put a woman on. Mm-hmm. It's just a token. Okay,
well,
give us
the
token.
I'm surprised you didn't like that.
I did not like that. Did not like her answer.
And Ted Cruz was the one who I felt like throwing a shoe at the screen.
Nutty. Isn't he nutty? Yeah.
All right, so in the 2 minutes we have left, handicap it for me. Of the 11, how many are gone by the next debate?
None.
None? You think they will all be there?
Not of the 11. I think it's possible that somebody from the last four. I don't know how Pataki continues because I don't know what his financial flow is. I think Lindsey Graham and Jindal and Santorum may have more of a money flow, but I'd like to see Santorum and Jindal out.
I think Huckabee could be out. He's running out of steam.
He has the look of somebody who was.
He's got that evangelical support, and I imagine there's some money behind him, and he's got some Tea Party support.
I don't think Cruz came off very well last night. Christie, however, seemed to bounce back nicely, and castigating Fiorina and Trump.
Don't tell us about your life, but we do want to hear about their life.
Well, she had a good comeback because he was talking about all the things he's done in New Jersey, so he was talking about his life.
It wasn't germane, though, because what he was discussing in New Jersey about being a prosecutor was germane to the discussion, I think.
Well, there's some discussion about whether that's completely accurate, too.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, he also came off as far more conservative than he ever has before, too. He was trying to shift his persona.
Yeah.
Would you vote for that persona?
Well, it was on again. When I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was on again, I got a chance to watch it.
Roundtable was more than enough.
Yeah, it almost put me back to sleep, believe it or not. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. Ira Fussfeld, Rosemary Armero are with us, and I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We'll take a break for news. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, 9:33. It's a Thursday morning, a nice one at that. We're joined today on the panel by Rosemary Armeo and Ira Fussfeld. We've been talking about the GOP debate, and we have lots of mail on that at Roundtable at WAMC.org. This one from Sam. Enjoyed hearing debate on CNN, except for many dropout zones. Tried to listen on AMC, however, only heard banjo music. It was some good banjo music, but did retune to the debate. Well, thanks, Sam. We appreciate that.
Well, CNN had exclusivity for the debate, so it would not have been available.
That's exactly right. But still, I admire the snarkiness. Thanks, Sam. This one's from Bob. None of the Republican candidates have any hesitation in using phonied-up undercover videos to attack and besmirch Planned Parenthood, which we really didn't discuss. But Carly outdoes the rest with her pseudo-outrage. Just sickening Carly using the courageous decisions of women in a time of great stress to donate their fetuses tissue for critical medical research for sleazy political gain. That's from Bob.
Did you find the debate anti-woman? That's a discussion among some feminist groups today. Emphasis against Planned Parenthood. The whole dollar discussion, the $20 discussion I mentioned. There were cuts to women's health. Did you find it anti-women?
Well, I think, can we parse that and the framing the debate, which is so successfully done? Can you be pro-women and anti-abortion?
Sure you can.
Okay.
Sure you can.
So then was it anti-women last night?
Well, I think it went beyond just abortion. There were other issues. Women's health was, cuts to women's health were defended by several of the candidates. The fact that there's only one woman up there, let's mention that.
Right. You know, I mean, nobody jumped up to defend Planned Parenthood, or nobody even jumped up to say, okay, what's going on with the tissue is horrible and we are against abortion. But from what we can tell, only 3% of Planned Parenthood's business is abortion. So why are we throwing the baby,
and they were all saying, I cut Planned Parenthood. I defunded Planned Parenthood, like they were proud of it. And the money went to community health centers for women, none of which there's any evidence that they
Yeah, that was one of the response that Kasich had anti-Planned Parenthood.
Correct.
Disappointed me. I expected a more moderate answer from him. And we didn't mention him earlier. I was disappointed in general with his performance, and I expected more because coming out of the first debate, I thought he helped himself first time.
Yeah. I don't know. I found some of the answers really archaic. Also on pot, they all were against it, just flat out no. And I think that really flies in the face of what's happening in this country.
Did you hear the story? I think I heard it on NPR yesterday that the tax returns for the first year of pot legalization in Colorado, I believe was $70 million, which was significantly higher than they anticipated. And so as a result, they had a tax-free pot day.
I mean, it's a way to raise money. It didn't seem to me you were attracting the youthful vote by saying, no way to pot.
Well, I was going to say that. And also the women. I mean, I didn't detect in general, an anti-woman thrust to it, but I'm not a woman. And if you did, I would presume other women did as well.
I'm not sure that I did. Certain answers really annoyed me, but it is a discussion in social media today about whether they were anti-woman. I thought they were anti-immigrant, anti-foreign, anti-youth. They're just crotchety, mostly old men.
Much like this panel most of the time. This is from Kathleen. Let's see. We have 10 or so Republicans that are qualified, parentheses, you paid attention, for president, and the only choice we have on the Dem side is Hill. Why aren't Dems looking for choice? Oh, that's from Rob, actually.
Well, I mean, there is a choice. There's Bernie.
I think you're hearing more and more of, there's more bemoaning of the fact that the Democrats don't have a big bench. That you have Hillary and you have Bernie, and then you have a couple of lesser candidates in O'Malley and Webb, and then maybe Joe Biden. But that there's not a lot coming up through the pipeline.
Well, you know, this used to be the model. We didn't used to have this circus of candidates that the Republicans have now, and it didn't serve them well in the last election.
I agree. I think it's entirely counterproductive for their chances, the GOP's chances.
Mitt Romney came out of those elections at the beginning of the presidential year, and he was wounded. He had been attacked viciously by his own party. The Democrats just had to just stick the fork in after that.
This one is from Lido, I believe, or no, Ildo, the Ildo Shuffle. Trump was like me when I first came to U.S. 14 years ago on my English class. Sorry, no English. Trump was like me, no politician. All right, thank you, Ildo. This is from Phil in East Greenbush. Jeb Bush was much better. Rand Paul spoke very well.
He did.
Fiorina stuck it to Trump, and Donald's bully boy act is getting tiring. And it seemed to me, in the course of that 3 hours, his bully boy act started strong and faded. He was a meek fellow by the end.
By the way, it's been said, just read it this morning, that the Pope, who's coming here next week, of the 18 speeches that he's supposed to give, 14 are going to be in Spanish, which is going to just make Trump very mad.
Yes, that's rude of him. He's coming to the U.S. He should speak English.
Or as Sarah Palin would say, American.
Yeah.
America. So this is a response from Sam, who complained about the banjo music. He says, thank you for the information about the CNN exclusive. I did try, and it was some good banjo music. Why is such an important public event a CNN exclusive? Shouldn't it be available to people who don't get CNN?
Well,
that's a good question.
Well, I'll give you two answers. One is CNN live streamed the debate on the internet without putting up a paywall. So in other words, you cannot get CNN on the internet now unless you are a cable or satellite subscriber that carries CNN. They took that paywall off yesterday. And the other one is, I don't know what the negotiations are like, but CNN had this debate. Fox had the last debate. I'm not sure how it goes forward. And similarly, on the Democratic side, the cable networks negotiate with the party, I presume. I don't believe that Fox is doing any of the Democratic debates.
Still, this should be over the airwaves, don't you think?
Well, you know, the rules have changed. I mean, it used to be it would have been on one of the networks.
Yeah.
And now there's no reason for it to be on one of the networks.
Not when America's Got Talent final is on.
Well, there's that. But now that it's so widely available on the internet and on cable or satellite. Mm. So there are just many more places for it to appear.
This one's from Ryan. Trump is trying to set himself to be VP, carrying the far right voters along with him to give him leverage.
No.
No, anybody?
Trump he wants to be the leader.
Yes, Trump will not be the vice president.
He won't settle.
I could see
Carl Icahn as president.
Rubio, Pataki. I don't know if Pataki will get chosen. I could see Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
But Trump is not going to be number two.
By the way, I only saw the soundbite about Lindsey Graham talking about we'll be doing more drinking.
It was very funny.
Did anyone catch what the lead-in to that was?
Yeah, he was talking about, they only invoked Reagan's name about 4 million times.
Oh, my God, I was so sick of Ronald Reagan
And they talked about Reagan and O'Neill deciding things, and they had a collegial relationship, and usually over a couple of whiskeys. And so they, there'll be more drinking if I get in the
way. Okay, now that's not fair, because the sound clips that were played this morning didn't mention any of that interesting lead-in.
But right. I must say, again, pointing out that I don't agree with him, that I thought Lindsey Graham was quite good. I thought he was funny, and I thought he was quite strong getting the point that he wants to make, which is the world is going to come to an end unless we get tougher militarily in the Middle East.
Irene writes, it's depressing that Kasich isn't getting any traction, a reasonable and informed candidate. Was he even on?
Yeah,
he was on. As we said, I don't think he did well.
A couple of minutes here and there.
Yeah, he was much better, I thought, in the first debate.
Yeah, he tried to limit it to things that he had done in Ohio, and he was the only one who did this and this and this. Yeah, he was not effective.
This one's from Joe. I expected the Republicans and their audience to be completely tone deaf regarding George W. Bush's administration, but I'm ashamed of the pundits. When Jeb said his brother kept us safe, he completely disregarded the 9/11 happened on George's watch. Only Chris Matthews pointed this out afterward.
Not only Chris Matthews, the internet blew up, Twitter blew up. It was an incredible statement to make that George W. Bush kept us safe, except for 9/11.
Right. Well,
except for the biggest attack ever on mainland,
which
US
happened
soil.
Very early in his presidency, right?
September of 2001, within months of his 9 months.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to one from Ken. I didn't watch. I calculated that I stood to lose up to 3 points of my IQ if I watched. Hearing you discuss the second act of the RNC circus confirms I made the right choice. Hashtag Bernie 2016. That's
okay. I really disagree. A lot of people on Facebook last night as I was watching were saying the same thing. I'm not watching. I'm not going to waste my time. I mean, this is how you educate yourself as a citizen. He doesn't know what he missed. He may have heard things that would change his views, and you don't know. I have to scold you for that.
I think you should definitely
open
watch.
Yourself up to this stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I agree. You need to expose yourself to this. You can't maybe making informed decisions on anything regarding politics if you miss an important event.
These are people running for the highest leadership position in our country. I'm sorry, we owe them 3 hours of our attention.
You know, and it's always fun to try to handicap, all right, who will come out of this as the candidate? I got to tell you, I can't even have a favorite out of the 11 or 15 or whatever you want to say. I don't see a clear favorite here.
No, if we pulled Trump out of the mix, I'm not sure that you could say anybody right now is standing up and saying that's the obvious candidate.
Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address. It's the Roundtable panel, a smaller panel today. We're down a third. Alan,
just unlike the debate last night. See, now we have fewer people, so we have more time to enunciate.
Yeah,
there isn't the free for all and the back and forth and the yelling.
You want to fight for a while?
I like four people.
Well, here's what Ray should do if we talk too long. Excuse me. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator.
This is from Grace. Carly Fiorina, in every speech she gives, states that Hillary lied about Benghazi and lied about her emails. All evidence shows that no lies have been told by Hillary. The reprehensible smear on Hillary's character is far worse than Trump's schoolyard comment on her appearance. I know this is something that you...
It's true.
Really?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
There's no lie in Benghazi. There's no lie
on the emails.
It's not to say it was the best behavior, but there's not lying. That's the trope of the Republicans, that she's not trustworthy, she's not honest.
Is there a twilight zone between lying and telling the truth?
No. She told the truth. She's just not the truth that many congressmen wanted to hear.
I see. This is from Wes in Schenectady. Both Washington Post and FactCheck.org report that the horrific scene that she described last night does not appear in any of the Planned Parenthood videos talking about Carly Fiorina.
That was called true but misleading. It does appear in the video. It was not taken at Planned Parenthood. It was inserted later by an anti-abortion group.
Mm.
So it is in the video. She was right about that, but it is not Planned Parenthood.
Washington Post also has a very good analysis of Fiorina's issues at Hewlett-Packard, because there was the discussion,
yeah,
which I thought you had Trump and Xi discussing this, and they were on a level playing field in terms of knowledge of business, and he was very...
you can't work for me.
So I think the Washington Post story largely sides with Trump on this, that Fiorina did have her problems and they're well documented.
I will read that. I found that really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I talked about, that I've not heard that before. Just, it's like a blast against her. She was a CEO, but she was a bad one. And then you have a discussion of how exactly was she bad? Does this qualify her? That was the closest we got to an opening on it.
By the way, that this story also says when they fired her, she walked away with $21 million severance.
Yeah, well, that's like the CEO of United. The guy's being investigated as a crook. He's hurt the company horribly, worst safety record of all the airlines, and he walked away with a $20 million parachute. Nice capitalism. Good job.
The other thing is, Ray, regarding the ability to even out this time that each of the candidates spoke, one of the wags on Twitter said the next time they have a debate at the Reagan Library, they ought to have the candidates inside the plane so that when they want to get attention, they will press the call button.
That's a great idea. Or when they're ready to talk, they slide down the emergency chute, which would be great. All right, let's take a break. Rob, it is roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Hanford Mills Museum, East Meredith, New York, hosting the Woodsman's Festival on Saturday, October 3rd with woodworking, logging, and lumberjack demonstrations, music, food, and kids' activities. HanfordMills.com. Durant's Party Rentals, 4 locations in the Hudson Valley and Connecticut, proud supporters of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Durant'sParty.com. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years. Independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.Kendall.org. And Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in divorce mediation and collaborative divorce, helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com.
We can't stop talking about it, so why bother? It's the roundtable panel on WAMC. Ray in for Joe. Ira's here. Rosemary's here. Alan's not here today, but Alan will be back with us on Monday. And this one came in. This is from Corey. Stop defending Hillary. Petraeus did less than what she did, and he lost his job. If some low-level captain in the army did what she did, he'd be in jail, which is where Hillary should be. Let's finish Corey. Just because she is American royalty doesn't give her a pass on the law.
Oh, my goodness. The prosecutor in the Petraeus case, the prosecutor, said he would not have brought a case against Hillary. There's no criminal intent. What Petraeus did is much worse, and he got a hand slap. And it's the royalty of the big macho general being protected, not Hillary. So, sorry, I will not stop defending Hillary. I hope she wins.
This is from Jerry in Gilderland. Hi to Rosemary. Hello. Hi to Rosemary's comment. I'm a Democrat and won't be voting for the Repub nominee. Next year, when they select their candidate, I'll pay attention. It's all too long. I don't know. It was long last night, 3 hours, a long time. At times, there were stretches where you glazed over a little bit, but I thought there was a lot to digest.
Yeah. I couldn't stop. I was surprised because at the beginning I said,
but
oh,
our
my
attention
gosh.
Span is very short these days, and 3 hours is a long time. I mean, it's just even well-meaning and people who want to pay attention for all the right reasons, it's very hard to do that for 3 hours. I give those people credit. If for nothing else, they stood on their feet for 3 hours. I don't know if they had a bathroom break during those commercials, but, you know.
That's a great point. Some of these guys are a little, ladies are a little
older.
You're
in your 60s. You got to go a little bit more often.
Oh, my goodness. I am going to remember. I'm going to remember this the next time we get criticism.
Yes, well, as
the
oldest
media doesn't present the issues and it doesn't take these things seriously and we just do horse racing. This was substantive and long and detailed and important. And, okay, don't watch it if you don't want it or get it in bites, but don't criticize us for running it.
Aside from some of the ridiculous questions, as Ira mentioned, the selective service code name, I mean, you don't need that.
Secret service.
But there were a lot of good questions last night. I thought it was a pretty well done. And again, how many questioners were there?
Well,
three.
there was
Packer,
one and two toadies.
Dana Priest,
I mean,
Dana
Lash.
Dana Lash, right.
Yeah.
This one from Tom. Come on, guys. I'm no lover of George Bush, but you can't say that Bush could hold any responsibility for 9/11 so early in his presidency. You guys need to take opportunities like that to throw a bone to the other side so you don't seem so biased. That's from Tom. What do you think, Rosemary?
There's a point to that. There had been problems and intelligence about an attack coming. The fact that we had a change in administration from Democrat to Republic did not help. Yeah, I think that's
but
true.
There seems to be evidence that the Bush administration in its early months did not have its ears to the ground or did not react well enough,
exactly.
And that it was possible that all or part of 9/11 could have been avoided.
But there was a transitional problem there. He was brand new. So is it surprising that the administration wasn't paying attention or didn't know how to, I don't know.
Well,
can we talk about the clock boy?
You want to switch gears? We have a lot of email on this, and we'll leave it for now. Thank you for writing. Continue to write. We may pick it up again tomorrow on the debate, but you got to switch gears sometime, and we're almost out of time. And frankly, Rosemary scares me, so I'm going to do whatever she wants here at 9:51.
She's often she's here a lot more often than you or I. So
absolutely, and she's the star. I mean, let's be
come
real.
Come on, don't say that. Alan will be mad. He'll throw me off.
I have a question for Rosemary, at the risk of distracting her from the clock boy. You don't have a Twitter account? Does that sound right?
You know, I do
you
have
do.
One, but I you don't. Do. I rarely use it. I haven't figured out Twitter.
Okay,
I use Facebook, but
yeah, I follow you on Twitter
out.
And. You don't.
Well,
I don't.
I have to find you on Twitter. I wasn't aware you had.
Okay,
it.
It's
I'll
not
give
like
you my
a normal
like
name.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to start using it. I just don't get it. I can do Facebook really well.
Oh, you'll. I think somebody. You know, occasionally you'll have an opinion, and I think you'll enjoy Twitter.
Occasionally,
oh,
I have
Twitter. Do you look at it though, even though you're not
yeah,
on it?
Yeah, and I love it for breaking
yeah,
news.
Yeah, it's a
I
great. Mean, it's like the news service, like
the
an
debate
AP
last
wire.
Night was fantastic. Yeah. The American Pharoah race was wonderful yeah. on Twitter. Yeah, I use it. I
and
don't.
If you follow
write
a sports
it.
Team, Giants, Mets,
yeah,
whatever, it's, you get up to the minute. Of, yeah. it's great. If yeah. you're out, you don't even have to listen to the game. If you're out and about, you see almost every pitch from Adam Rubin mm-hmm. and some of
right.
these guys. All right, so a 14-year-old Muslim boy has become a sensation on social media after he was placed in handcuffs and suspended for coming into his suburban Dallas school with a homemade clock that teachers thought resembled a bomb. Police declined to seek any charges against Ahmed Mohammed, but that did little to tamp down criticism of police and school officials or suspicions that they had overreacted because of the boy's religion. Irving Police Chief Larry Boyd said the clock looked suspicious in nature, but there was no evidence the boy meant to cause alarm at MacArthur High School. The White House has weighed in. In a tweet, President Obama called Ahmed's clock cool and said more kids should be inspired like him to enjoy science. The boy was invited to participate in an astronomy night the White House is organizing sometime next month with the premier scientists.
Okay, here's what I want to say about this. I think the kid's adorable, and I'm glad he's going to the White House, and Google is
offering
him
an intern. And transferring
to
a private school, by the way.
Well, he's considering it. I don't know if they decided. But here's the thing. It wasn't his teacher. The thing did look like a bomb. It really does look like a bomb. It's in a square case, and it's got wires. He shows it to his teacher. His teacher goes, this is great. You get a high grade on it. Don't show it to anybody else. And it goes off in an English class. It beeps in an English class. That teacher does not go to the principal, does not go to the boy. She calls the cops. When did we start treating our kids like criminals? And by the way, I don't really believe the parents who say this only happened because he was Middle Eastern. I don't believe that. They've lived in the United States for 30 years, and they say if his name had not been Muhammad, this would not have happened. I think we're awful to all kinds of kids now. We have criminalized mischief.
Look, I can't defend treating this kid the way he was treated, but I can understand it. Let's face it, in the grand tradition of this country, going back probably a lot farther than this, but going back to internment camps with the Japanese after Pearl Harbor, people are on edge, and when they see something like this, there's going to be Islamophobia, and I'm not saying it's right, by quite the contrary,
but
I can understand how
okay,
it
here, here's another thing. The school suspended him for 3 days. That suspension is still in effect.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
silly.
Yeah.
That's silly. I mean, you know, you see something that looks like a bomb being carried by somebody is predisposed to think is the offspring of a terrorist. It's one thing to be concerned about it and to make sure that it's not a bomb, but to suspend him and all the rest,
the handcuffs. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. I mean, once it was cleared up, that suspension should go away. I think that's the point here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ira's point to some extent that a little fear and overreaction can be understandable in certain circumstances, but that won't take too long to clear up, certainly not 3 days.
We talk about it all the time, and we all have sat in airplanes or in airplane waiting rooms looking at our fellow passengers and saying,
wondering,
is this the guy?
But you know what was missing? It was the principal or the headmaster or something saying, we're sorry about this. We made a mistake. We wish him well. That's gone.
Well, that's right. It could be a teacher.
We're right. We did the right thing.
Right.
He's still suspended.
It could be an educational moment to show that this Islamophobia is ill-placed.
Right.
The email address here, roundtable@wamc.org. I got to tell you, Rosemary, here's the email of the day. This is from Linda. Hi, Roundtable. May I suggest as a premium a lunch with Rosemary?
Mm. Oh, great. Okay.
Who's paying?
presumably Rosemary.
You can sit at Alan's.
I know the station's not going to do it. So
Alan's got a regular table at Ichiban. We could work something out.
There
you
go.
And hold forth. Or just come to my house. My mother will cook.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know, on Facebook, the picture of your mom
with the baseball
doing
hat.
The gang
yeah.
signs. Yeah. Really? Really?
It was pretty funny.
Now, your mom must be, what, 60,
She's
65?
She's going to be 90.
90?
She's going to be 90 next
I thought
month.
You were only in your 20s.
I am. She had me late.
Very late.
It's like Strom Thurmond. What was the comment last night? He had 4 offspring after age 67.
Really?
Yeah.
This one is from Marguerite. I believe the engineering teacher who the boy first showed the clock to should have told him to put it in his locker or kept it in his classroom.
She did indeed say, don't show it to anybody.
And this or writer, he. Maggie, says, I did not hear that the English teacher was the one who called the cops. This was a case of racial profiling. So much for encouraging math and science in school.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, this did damage. And I think you have a really good point, Ira, that maybe caution was the right thing to do. But after it's over, when the president is inviting him to the White House, you go, we really messed up on this. We're sorry. He's a great kid. Which, by the way, he certainly comes off on mm-hmm. TV. Even if they had let him back in school, he would have had to take the day off to be on all the morning shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's been everywhere.
Until if and when the day ever finally comes when the threat of terrorism from Muslims and Islamists, et cetera, is ended, I'm afraid this is what this country is going to be all about.
Yeah.
All right. And I'll end with this letter from George, and it's food for thought. The subject heading, the school's response was stupid. The police could see the entire device. They were told repeatedly that it was a clock. If they actually thought it was a bomb, why didn't they evacuate?
Yep.
If they thought it was a bomb, why didn't they call the bomb squad? And we'll leave
Good
it at
point.
That. Email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. We love your letters. And I got to tell you, some good ones today. We didn't get to all of them. I apologize for that, but there's so many. But you know what? You kept them brief today. So important. Because when it's 6 to 8 paragraphs, you have to edit on the fly. It doesn't sound so good. You know what I mean?
I just feel that the listeners must have been so enthralled by what Rosemary and I had to say
yeah.
that they wanted to yes. only write short ones because they didn't want to get distracted from listening.
We are
don't
fine
you think?
Panelists.
Yes,
I we think are
so.
Fine panelists.
Really?
If we
yeah.
do say so ourselves.
Well, I'll be darned. Okay. Well, thanks for being here for this fine panel. And believe it or not, there are 2 more fine hours of the program ahead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.